wanted to just make a couple comments based on previous presentations. I really liked that the library that was depicted in your presentation, Joe. I wish ours we had room for that kind of a library. And I haven't tried any of those the stink bugs, but I have tried Bagrata bug, and I really recommend it. Very tasty. Okay. So I'm going to give a presentation about the training that we do and that we receive as entomologists for PPQ. My talk's called Training Eyes on the Border to Exclude Agricultural Threats. And for those of you who aren't here during my previous introduction, my name is Jason Boats. I am an entomologist and identifier for the area in Nogales, Arizona, on the Mexican border. And so my experiences with training and working with Customs and Border Protection come from my experience there in Nogales. So we've heard about some agricultural threats. There are many new coming to light every year. Just some examples of recent ones, red palm mite. We hear about various tufritid flies every year. There seems to be some tufritid fly that pops up, and especially in California, and then gets eradicated. I know that with mangoes and other produce coming up in baggage from Mexico, I guess there's a lot of Mexican fruit fly that would get into the country if that stuff didn't get taken. Copatarsia species, this noctuid from South America, Central America. Asian citrus psyllid, Crinidia species, citrus longhorn beetle, and red palm weevil. These are all ones that, with certain exceptions and locally, are not established in the United States. So it's very important to have effective eyes looking for these things at the border. So who is doing it? As Joe Cavey mentioned already, the responsibilities for this is kind of divided between the Department of Homeland Security, Customs and Border Protection, specifically their agricultural specialists. They do the inspection and the enforcement part, and the U.S. Department of Agriculture, Animal Plant Health Inspection Service, Plant Protection and Quarantine. In this case, it's going to be in some cases, Plant Protection and Quarantine officers who are doing inspections. In other cases, it's the identifiers who are identifying things found in inspections by CBP or USDA. U.S. Department of Agriculture has kept the policymaking and the scientific and technical services roles. But we work cooperatively because, you know, the inspection and enforcement without the policy support and the scientific services wouldn't be able to work, and we wouldn't have anything to look at if not for the inspection on the part of Homeland Security. So basically my talk is going to be about the importance and opportunities for training within this job. It's one of our primary responsibilities. I would say right after doing the actual identification of pests, training is our second responsibility. It's very important, and we have many opportunities to do it. The areas of training are PPQ policy training. So for example, we can train on how to use the databases and that kind of thing. We can train about the ISPM 15 woodpecking policies. Sometimes there are changes in policy that we need to highlight. The cargo release authority training, I'll be talking about that in a little bit. Pest-specific training, when there are high-profile pests or new pests that we want to make CBP aware of, and on-the-dock training, where we actually go and work with CBP. There are a number of resources available to us as we do our training. One is the Manual for Agricultural Clearance, which is kind of the holy writ for quarantine inspections. This says everything from what kinds of treatments are available if pests are found to how to process pests for submission to us for identification. There are handouts and presentations that are available from other identifiers. A lot of identifiers have been working on putting together things that would be helpful for CBP where they're working, and then it's very helpful for them when they drop it into the identifier Dropbox for others to use. This is at a website that's maintained by National Identification Service, and it has a lot of resources to where we can kind of share as a community of identifiers, share the tools, not have to reinvent the wheel all the time. We're kind of starting to discover, you know, that there are more of us out there and take advantage of those opportunities. Another thing is the port collections. This refers to both the physical collections that we have. We can pull out some and use them for training material when we're working person to person with CBP officers, and also the digital collections that we're developing. As we, a lot of times we take images just in the process of sending a submission by digital image to the national specialists. If we want an answer in the same day and not have to send something in a package overnight, we think that the specialist might be able to recognize it. Then we'll go ahead and take an image of this, dorsal, lateral, ventral view, whatever specific features might help with the identification. And we send that to ARS for them to make the final determination, or the PPQ lab where that would be done. As a result of doing thousands of such interceptions over the years, we developed quite an image catalog. Sometimes we also just take images because something looks really interesting. We think we might want that for the future. I'm hoping that with time we're going to be making more of these things available to each other as identifiers. Each of us has kind of our isolated collection of images of various pests, but I think I see what we're going to be doing in the future is getting more of these onto a common site, a common catalog that we can all search together. Sometimes we have opportunities to do training on policy. I find it that it's very helpful, and CBP has expressed their kind of gratitude when we give them a plain English explanation based on what is written in the Manual for Agricultural Clearance. It can be kind of confusing in some cases, and so it helps when we've had a chance to sometimes when we get confused ourselves and we ask the manuals unit, you know, what they mean by something, then we can have a clear idea and we can pass that along to CBP. We find, partly because of the high turnover among CBP agriculture specialists, that we need to remind them of things a lot of times, like the proper processing of urgent interceptions. This could be taxon specific, for example, a specimen preparation, like don't forget to boil your Lepidoptera and things like that so they don't turn black. And we train them on the use of cargo release authority. As I mentioned before, solid wood packing regulations. We want to make sure that they're aware of what those regulations are. Basically, if solid wood packing is found infested with certain families of wood boring beetles or other wood borers, then it's returned automatically, rejected from entering the United States. And then sometimes there are changes in policies. For example, at one point, all dead bees were being collected and submitted for identification, and then we would submit those on up. And I guess the reason could have been diseases that the bees were carrying. But then the policy changed, and dead bees were not considered to be a major concern anymore. And so we needed to let them know, stop sending us all the dead bees. Cargo Release Authority is a really neat tool. It's very, very helpful for us when CBP agriculture specialists can do some of their identifications themselves and not have to submit the specimens to us. Basically, in that funnel that Cheryl showed in her first presentation, it's very large at the top, all of the things that CBP agriculture specialists find in cargo includes a lot of non-agriculturally relevant taxa. So if they're finding Ephemeroptera or dragonflies, lace wings, things like that. It may not be obvious what it is to a layperson, but with some training and with their background, and most agriculture specialists have some background in biological sciences, we can teach them to recognize some of these more distinct and non-agriculturally significant taxa. It also includes some established domestic pests. So I have an example there of a handout that was prepared by my colleague Bill Carlson up in Washington on how to recognize a Dermestes species larva and how to tell the difference between that and other Dermestid larvae. And these should be insects that are easily identifiable with a hand lens, and they shouldn't require complex taxonomic keys. Part of this is because people in the agriculture specialists in CBP come from a wide range of backgrounds. Some of them have just a little bit of biological training. Some of them are actually trained entomologists, but even those with the crushing workload that they have every day, they have tons and tons of stuff to inspect and very little time to do it, and also in a lot of cases they only have one or two microscopes available, and so with competition for those resources, they don't have time to make really, really detailed identifications or work through keys. So we give them, we train them on how to recognize these common pests or non-pests, and we can issue them cargo release authority when they've demonstrated to us that they know how to identify them. And we can deliver this training in the form of formal presentations. For example, that that slide about the crabids is one that I did during one of our CRA training events. And then informal review. Whenever we're in contact with CBP agriculture specialists, when we're down there working with them at the docks, we have a chance to bring one or two taxa with us and just pass it around and review it. And we found this to be very helpful. Another way that we can give information and training to the agriculture specialists is be on the lookout or pest alerts. Here's a warning sign or a wanted sign for Epilacna species. It shows what they might find it on that they're inspecting, how they should watch for it. Usually this, we'd hand out something like this in conjunction with the training, something for them to post on their wall. And this may include familiar and seasonally intercepted quarantine pests, ones that kind of show up every year, but it's that time of year again, start thinking about finding, you know, Mexican fruit fly or something like that. Or it could be a new pest that's recently started to be intercepted. And we want them to broaden their and intensify their search of the commodity for this pest. In a lot of cases, that works out really well. For example, there was a thrips recently that had been found for the first time on a commodity, and we contacted CBP and we said, start looking at this commodity more. We're starting to find this thrips on it. And within the week, we were having dozens of interceptions of this thrips on that commodity. It hadn't been found in all the years before, and all of a sudden they started looking for it and finding it. And it could be also a pest that hasn't been intercepted yet at that port, but we think that it could be if they looked for it. This could be an example where an insect has been found in New Mexico or in Texas, and it's been found in California, but it hasn't been found in Arizona yet. I mean, at the border by CBP in cargo. And we think that it could be because people don't know how to recognize it, or aren't looking really where that pest is found, or maybe that commodity is not being inspected sufficiently. So we'll bring that to their attention. Here's an example of another kind of pest-specific training. I mentioned the caper beetle targeted operation that we did before. In conjunction with that, we had training both in Nogales, Phoenix, and in Douglas, Arizona. So there you see us basically pouring out the contents of some pantry items onto a white piece of paper, and I have an undisclosed location where I can go and always find pantry pests. And so I go and pick up a bunch of these Trachoderma species and spread them out, but they're not granarium. They look just the same, so it works well for training. Okay, and then there's a program called Entomologist on the Dock that we've initiated. Cheryl has really spearheaded this program in Nogales, and so a lot of credit's due to her for keeping it going and giving it a lot of energy. But this is basically a program where, at least on a monthly and often on a bi-monthly basis, twice monthly basis, we go down to the cargo dock and we just work with CBP. Sometimes we're just doing the same thing they do as far as inspecting commodities, just tearing apart the lettuce and just working beside them. This gives us a good idea of how they work, what their inspections are like, if there's some sort of thing that we think they're overlooking, then this is how we realize that. And then sometimes when we go down there, we just have time to pull them together in a classroom and basically give a presentation. This could be about actionable thrips, actionable aphids, mealybugs they should be looking at. Here's an image of pointing to a mealybug that was found on some grapes. And sometimes they'll say, oh, I never thought to look on the stem part of the grapes. I've only looked on the grapes themselves. So that can be very helpful. We also take this opportunity to correct any problems that we see with the data entry. We show them how to pull up reports in the Pest ID database that can be helpful for them in seeing trends and things like that. We teach them how to use their digital imaging equipment effectively. And we give them specific inspection methods that could be useful for a specific taxa, thrips, bark beetles, things like that. What to look for, because they have a huge quantity of things that are coming through the port to identify. They don't really have a lot of time, and so they need to really target their inspection to where they're most likely to find a pest. And then we give them identification instruction and practice, of course, with specimens that we bring. The benefits of this program that we've already noticed is that it improves the inspection methods, it raises the awareness of new and important pests, it provides reality checks to us. So when we were teaching them to do the digital imaging, for example, one of them said, well, this is all very good, and we can send our images to you, but we only have one setup, and we're usually preparing 10 or so interceptions at any given time, so we're not going to be able to send them all to you either way, because they have a resources constraint there. It also, this kind of training helps to build cooperative working relationships and keeps the communication channels open between USDA and CBP locally. We have very good relations, working relationships with the officers at our port. We feel that we can call their supervisors anytime if there's a problem. With the way that specimens are submitted or anything like that, we can call the supervisors and at least let them know about our concern, and then they try to communicate that to the field. And by the same way, having those communication channels open has helped us as well. For example, they've let us know when there are security threats and things like that that usually they kind of keep to themselves. So that's been helpful. That's the end of my presentation. I'd like to thank James Krecki, Joe Bauman from CITSE, and the Customs and Border Protection specialists who took those pictures for their photographs. And I welcome any questions if I have time.
Do you have a minute? Anybody have a question?
Okay, thank you.